Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Good morning, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world and whenever you are listening. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and this is the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, who is sitting directly across from me. And to my left is Suzette, and we also have Larry to my right, and Mike has just come in, and I'm making him a cup of coffee and feeding him a cinnamon biscuit with a marshmallow on top.
Delightful.
that's an homage to the fire pit outside. We are delighted that you're taking some time out of your busy schedule to join us today for our study. I'm going to call your attention, those of you who are on the internet with us, to our website at blogtalkradio.com /SOT. The chat room there has the links to our website, our official website at spiritoftruthministry.net, our original website at spiritoftruthministry.net/STM, where all three of those letters are in caps, and our spiritoftruthministry@gmail.com email. If you have any need to get a hold of us, that's the place to do it. And or you may always leave comments on our official website below each of the articles Rick has written or the book. The book is called The Spirit of the Church. It was published in 2007 by Rick and Spirit of Truth Ministry, and it is basically the primer for whatever it is that you will hear on this program and our Bible on Trial program. So if you have any interest and you have any questions, that's the place to start. If then you can go anywhere you want to on these websites and you can read almost anything, and you'll start getting a picture of how we do and why we do what we do. So let's have prayer. We'll get started with our study. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, our mother, I pray that you will, in your great mercy and in your great benevolence, join us today through the word of Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, guiding us to understand those words and the words of the law and the prophets in the Old Testament. Thank you for opening our eyes to the things above, to spiritual reality, because soon, very soon, we pray, we will be with you in your kingdom after it comes to this earth. And as we go forward to take the message of truth to the world, I pray, Father, that your kingdom will be magnified here on earth. Thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Suzette.
Good morning.
Good morning, Larry. He's snoring again. And you've heard from Mike already. Good morning, Rick. Nice to see you. A couple of things. Just by way of, I mentioned it yesterday, we have this Art for Heaven's Sake thing. It was wonderful last night. There was a bluegrass band playing, and they had hors d'oeuvres and everything. Today there's going to be a whole bunch of jazz in the afternoon. Also, we are saying goodbye to a good friend of ours via a memorial service. And hang on here, just gotta click that off. Always a hard thing when someone dies too young. And Joey Huerta was a fantastic musician. an absolutely stunning artist in the form of stained glass, and we will miss him. We also have his memorial service this afternoon, and I know that at some point soon we will see him in the kingdom of heaven. Anyway, there you go, Rick.
Thank you, Dennis, and welcome everyone. It's an honor that you spend this time together with us as we study and learn the truth that God has generously provided for us. The subject in our series that we're covering right now is the spiritual component of our connection to God. And first and foremost, what we must understand is that the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. I had asked a question a number of weeks ago when I was talking about the marriage feast. The parables that were told by the Son of God were spiritual in their context. For someone who has no knowledge of what spiritual is, or someone who has never made a spiritual connection, a parable is just a novel story that is only meant to offer whatever someone might glean from it that is helpful in their walk, their spiritual walk. But that was never the intent of a parable. In the parable of the marriage feast, there's this invitation that is given, and in that parable, in the first part, there are three responses. One says, you know, I'm too busy, I've got to take care of my business. Another one says, I don't have time. Another one says, I'm not interested. And the king then again sends more servants to invite people to the marriage feast. And they get the same response. But the king says, the hall is ready. The fatted calf has been butchered. The food is all cooked. The table is all set. The chairs are all there. Come in. Come to the marriage feast. But no one showed up. As a parable, you could say, okay, well, what is the marriage? Who's getting married? And where? Where is this grand hall that the Father has all these tables and chairs set and the food all prepared? I mean, if you really want to understand what is being conveyed here, if you're going to think in the literal sense and not the spiritual sense, you would have to say, how could these people attend a wedding, go into a hall that didn't exist anywhere in the land? I mean, have you ever thought about that? I mean, if someone says, I'm not interested, I want to go, it's okay. Well, they could have said, well, where is it? Where is this marriage hall, this grand hall that the marriage is taking place, and food, and where do I go? Purpose of this parable was first that you need to have a connection to the spiritual realm. But we are finite beings. We are flesh and blood. We are not spiritual beings. If we were spiritual beings, we would be able to go other places than this earth. But as flesh and blood beings of dust, we are confined to this earth from which we were made. So how can you fault someone for not going to a marriage hall when there is no marriage hall to go to? If you are going to enter a spiritual kingdom, which is what the kingdom of God is, the kingdom of the Father is a spiritual kingdom. It is not one that you can see with your eyes. It is not one that you can get in your car or get in a plane and fly to. You can only enter this kingdom in your mind. While you are here on this earth, as a flesh and blood being, the only way to enter this kingdom is in your mind. And that's why I have been focusing on that which is the heart. Now, when we think of heart, what is it that comes to mind? And mind is another key element in this. But when you say man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart, so what is he doing? Does he have an ultrasound machine that he looks to see, you know, all the chambers beating and the valves opening and closing and the blood flowing through? Is that what God sees when he's looking on the heart? No. What the heart is, and I'm going to ask Dennis if he will read the definition of, is it lobe?
Let me find it again here. It took me just...
The Hebrew word that is translated heart. And it's very interesting because, you know, a few weeks ago I said that it came to me that this is what is meant by the heart.
Hang on here, just one second. I have to get to the... There we go. It is. Oh, not there. Hang on. Here it is. How come it's not doing this?
What he's looking up is when the the gods, the Elohim, said to each other that they had observed the wickedness of the earth and that the heart of mankind had become perfect in evil.
Here it is. It's Strong's Hebrew 3820, L-A-B-E, Leb. It is the heart, also used very widely for feelings, the will, and even intellect.
Intellect. There it is.
That was Genesis 6:5 as an example of the use of the word heart that we looked up to find out what Hebrew meanings of that original word could be.
And what is the intellect other than what is meant by the heart of man is not in physical terms, the heart of man is that muscle in the center of their chest that pumps blood throughout their body and then receives the blood back, goes into the lungs, the gaseous exchange takes place, and then goes back into the other side of the heart. It's pumped back through the body. But what is meant in spiritual terms, the heart?
How we understand what we understand.
Well, yes, it is what we have done with what we have learned.
And just by way of strengthening the argument, the Greek word in Strong's is 2588. And you mentioned in our sorry you couldn't have heard the pre-show discussion. It was really interesting. But it is what you do for a living, what you did for a living, it is cardia, and it is the heart, that is, figuratively, the thoughts or feelings, mind, but also the middle. In other words, it is the center from where
The center of life.
It's the center of life. It's the center from where everything that we think about and do and operate under comes from.
So the intellect is the confluence of knowledge. Now, here is a very important point, and if you're taking notes, you need to write this down. And I know that Dr. Don is always taking notes.
Dr. Don is on with us today. So are your friends, Don and Linda. And we also have somebody, it looks like from the area code, from Alaska.
Wow. The intellect is full of what we have learned. The confluence of knowledge, everything that has come in through our eyes and through our ears goes into our intellect. Now, if what has gone in there is lies, and listen to this. If what fills your intellect is lies, then you will never be able to enter the spiritual kingdom of Elohim. Because the spiritual kingdom of Elohim is truth. That is why it is so important that what we have filled our intellect with is the truth. That is why it was so important for us to have the truth so that we could enter the kingdom of the Elohim. That the Father sent his Son here to this earth with the truth to deliver the truth to his disciples, who would write it down, and he would preserve the truth throughout all time, down here to our day, so that what we read recorded by his eyewitness disciples will fill our intellect with what is needed so that we can enter the kingdom of the Elohim. Did you get that? Well, Dennis is trying to babysit his dogs. Let me say that again,
please,
because this is very important. The only way that you will enter that marriage feast, which is the kingdom, which is the spiritual realm where God dwells, as a flesh and blood being, you cannot go to the place where the marriage feast is being held, because it does not exist on this plane. It does not exist as a place on this earth. Only exists in the spiritual realm, and we as flesh and blood beings cannot enter a spiritual realm in our person. The only way that we can enter the spiritual realm while we are still here in our flesh and blood bodies is with our mind. Our mind is the only connection that we have to the spiritual realm. And that's why the Son of God used parables. Because he's training our minds to think in spiritual, to get spiritual understanding, to think in that, on that spiritual plane, so that we can enter the spiritual realm but still be here on earth in our physical bodies.
And our mindset either enables or prohibits us from entering the kingdom.
Now, in that series of words and sentences, there was a word just slid through there that probably nobody noticed to the whole process, and that is the word THINK. Think is a requirement.
One of the most important exchanges that is recorded in the Gospels, and the primary Gospels that I focus on are Matthew and John. We find it in John, and this is, I can't stress how important it is to understand this. Only when your intellect has been trained to understand spiritual teaching, spiritual words, will this really make sense to you. When you read, like, John chapter 4, where the Son of God is leaving Jerusalem because they're seeking to kill him. And so he's going back north to the lake towns of Galilee. And on the way, he stops at Sychar there at Jacob's well. This whole exchange is so full of spiritual information if you are willing to see it. The disciples didn't understand this at all. And the Son of God using this to try and help them make that connection. Make the connection to the way to the kingdom. The way to the kingdom is taking our intellect and emptying it of all of the trash that we have been taught about God. We need to get rid of that. That's why the Son of God talks about becoming as little children. Because little children have not had a chance yet to fill their intellect with lies. What he's saying is you have to take your intellect back down, do a reboot. Because what you've got going on in there is viruses and corruption, and it just doesn't work right. Of course, you get the invitation and you say, I'm too busy. I've got stuff going on here. And by the way, where is this marriage hall anyway? In John chapter 4, we'll take up here from verse 7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. So the disciples had gone into the town to buy food. Why?
They were hungry.
They were hungry, and they were going to buy food so that they could eat it and no longer be hungry. And what are we speaking of here in terms of hunger and food and eating? Physical. Mm-hmm. Okay? Physical. So here we're doing physical. Jesus asked the woman for a drink. Physical, right?
Mm-hmm.
Physical. What Jesus is doing here is he wants to show the difference between the two. And until you understand that there is a difference, this will all be kind of nonsensical to you. Just like when he said, later on, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. They're still thinking in physical terms. I can't eat his flesh. Oh, that's repulsive. And at the end of that, he's saying, I'm not talking about my flesh. Why is he doing this? He starts his ministry doing this. Why is he doing this? Because he is emphasizing the importance of starting your journey to the spiritual realm as flesh and blood. And he's using the tangible flesh and blood kind of reality to help you understand what you need to do for that spiritual connection. If it was not important for us to understand in spiritual terms, to take a spiritual journey to a spiritual kingdom, he wouldn't be doing this. This would be ridiculous for him to do these things. His disciples never got it. They were always thinking in spiritual thinking. They had never connected to the path that would lead them to the kingdom. And that's why when their master said, "I'm going away," and they said, "Where are you going?" And what was his response? "You have been with me all this time, and you still don't know the way?"
Then he went on to say, "Where I am going, unit cannot come."
And why? Because they had not made the spiritual connection. Their intellect was still connected in physical terms to the physical realm. That's why the parables made no sense to them whatsoever. We cannot start our journey to the kingdom until we have found the path that is the way to the spiritual kingdom of God. And that is the way of truth. And only with an intellect full of truth are we to enter this kingdom. The Samaritan woman said to him, "What? You are a Jew and you ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink?" Jews, in fact, do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus replied, listen to these words, because not only is he speaking to the Samaritan woman, he is speaking to us. "If you only knew what God is offering." If you only knew what God is offering. I challenge you to go to your church and ask anyone there, do they know what God is offering? And they will tell you, yes. But they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. And that there is the problem. Because if you think you're already in the kingdom or already on the way to the kingdom, you will never get there. You are like those that are too busy to be bothered with that. If you only knew what God is offering and who it is that is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have been the one to ask, and he would have given you living water. Living water is spiritual. You cannot go anywhere on the face of this earth to any water source and get living water. Living water is spiritual. You can't see it. You can't hear it. You can't taste it. But what does it do? You see, the spiritual realm is the realm of the eternal. Those in the spiritual realm are eternal beings. They're spiritual beings, not flesh and blood. Flesh and blood dies. Flesh and blood is finite. But when the mind, the intellect, is connected into the spiritual realm, even though the body dies, the intellect in the spiritual realm. So the person is as if they have fallen asleep. But at the resurrection, when God wakes the person up, he is actually waking up their intellect, and they are spiritual beings. The woman goes on to say, "You have no bucket, sir. The well is deep. How would you get this living water?" Okay, so see, she's still not understanding, and that's perfectly understandable that she doesn't understand what he's saying. She thinks living water down in this well, even though she's been drawing water out of this well in a bucket forever, and she still gets thirsty. How he's trying to teach, and this is how God teaches, using the what we understand about physical things, mm-hmm. he makes that into a spiritual connection so that we can understand. Mm-hmm. Then she says, "Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from himself with his sons and his cattle?" Jesus replied, "Whoever drinks this water will get thirsty again. But anyone who drinks the water that I shall give will never be thirsty again. The water that I shall give will turn into a spring inside him, welling up to," and there it is, "eternal." Eternal. He is speaking in spiritual terms. Spiritual phrases, spiritual information makes no sense to those who are still connected in the physical realm. Makes no sense. In fact, the person who is teaching spiritual knowledge is seen as a fool. Said the woman, "Give me some of this water so that I may never get thirsty and never have to come here again to draw water." You see, doesn't get it. But, and that's understandable, okay? That's understandable that she doesn't get it. And Jesus is not making fun of her. "Go and call your husband," Jesus to her, "and come back here." Now, you see, he knows. He's not asking. Doesn't want to meet her husband. He's doing this, and you have to understand, do this to show that he has the connection to the spiritual realm. The woman answered, "I have no husband." He said to her, "You are right to say, 'I have no husband,' for although you have had five, the one you have now is not your husband. You spoke the truth there. I see you are a prophet, sir." Okay. What does a prophet do? Do you know the job description of a prophet? Anybody? This is important.
Testify to the will of God.
A prophet speaks the words that God right. has given them.
Exactly.
And those words are what?
Truth.
Spiritual. Spiritual. God takes his words and he gives them to his messenger, and his messenger gives those words to the people. You remember the parable of the marriage feast? The parable of the marriage feast. The king, who is the spiritual king of the spiritual kingdom, that is God, sends messengers to deliver a spiritual invitation to these flesh and blood beings who have no spiritual connection whatsoever, and the invitation is totally and completely repulsed because it is the only way you can understand the spiritual invitation to the spirit to attend the spiritual wedding feast is if you can process spiritual information, and obviously those people couldn't. The prophet is the key. That's why the devil goes at the prophets or the priests. As long as he can keep the message corrupt, he has done his job. "I see you are a prophet, sir," said the woman. "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain." Worship, another key word, worshipped. What is worship? What does it mean, worship? "Our fathers worship on this mountain. While you say that Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Remember, what are we talking about? What are we comparing here? What are we differentiating here? Physical from spiritual. She says this mountain, physical. This mountain is where our fathers worship. You say it is Jerusalem. Place. You have to go to Jerusalem to worship God. You can't worship God here. You can't worship God there. You have to go to Jerusalem and worship God. It's the spiritual. Remember the marriage hall. The marriage hall was not in Jerusalem. If it was, they all went to that marriage hall. The marriage hall was not in Jerusalem. It was not on that, on this mountain in Samaria. Remember that, because what the Son of God says is pertinent. "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You will worship, what you do not know." So if you don't know God, it doesn't matter where you go to worship. Because if you don't know God, you are not worshiping God, even if you're in the church, even if you're at a holy shrine, even if you're in the temple, or if you're out meditating in nature. If you don't know God, you are not worshiping God when you worship. He goes on to say, "We worship what we do know. For salvation comes from the Jews, but the hour will come already when true worshipers will worship the Father in
spirit
and truth." Those two words are key. Because you cannot worship in spirit if you do not know the truth. Now, in the physical realm, people go, "I worship in the spirit. I'm in the spirit when I worship. The Holy Spirit is with me. The Holy Spirit is guiding me." Do you know the truth? Of course I know the truth. I know the truth. God is truth, and I know God, so I know truth. Yeah. No, I've had people tell me this.
But does God know you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No. What?
Oh, yeah. God knows everybody. Well, God knows everything, and God knows everybody.
Then why does God say when they come to the door and they knock and he slides the little thingy open and he looks out and he says, "I don't know you."
Right.
And they say, "But we've done all these wonderful things for you. We've cast out demons. We've healed the sick." he said, what did he say? I just, hey, it doesn't matter. Whatever you did was not in
Go
my
away.
Name.
Go away.
Go away.
But see, the people that you talk to in church, mm-hmm. they're already in the kingdom. So they're not those ones out the door. I mean,
no.
you know, the ones outside the door are the ones who have absolutely flat out denied that there is a God.
And as you put it so succinctly, they're the heaven-daring sinners.
Yeah.
And I put that question, I think, on Facebook group. Who are the five foolish bridesmaids? Who are they?
Certainly not anybody we know. I know, but you see, the thing is that this is another instance where that's just a spiritual story that's saying, what happens if you don't have the oil? Well, I have oil, you have oil, we have oil, everybody has oil.
All God's children have oil.
Worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. That is the kind of worshiper the Father wants. Here it is. God is spirit. And those who worship must worship in spirit. And you cannot worship in spirit if you have no connection to the spiritual realm. And you cannot connect to the spiritual realm until you have completed your learning process and are full of the truth. When the Son of God said, if you live, if you make my word, my teaching, your home, where you live in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Set us free from what? Sin. Slavery to sin, which keeps us prisoners in the physical realm. We can't connect to the spiritual realm as long as we are harboring lies. And the only way that we can get rid of the lies is to learn the truth. But if we think we already have the truth, we don't need to learn it, do we? Well, you can talk to the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin because they knew the truth. They were the authorities on the truth.
And it reminds me of the praise song, Humble Thyself in the Sight of the Lord. But people don't understand how that is done. What they're just doing is they're thinking of the awe of God. And they if they see God, they'll fall down on their faces and they'll worship him. But in reality, they will, if they see God in that condition, they will be burned up because they have no defense because they have sin in them.
Right. Vaped. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah, that is Christ, is coming. And when he comes, he will tell us everything. That's true. Well said, I would say. I, who am speaking to you, said Jesus, I am he. At this point, his disciples returned, and they were surprised to find him speaking to a woman, though none of them asked, what do you want from her? Or, why are you talking to her? She's a Samaritan woman, had five husbands, and was living with a man that wasn't her husband. You know, why would he be? That was kind of like the lowest of the low, that you don't get much lower than that. The woman put down her water jar and hurried back to the town to tell the people. I'm sure she was embarrassed by what the disciples said. come and see a man who has told me everything I ever did. I wonder if he is the Christ. This brought people out of town, and they started walking towards him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, Rabbi, teacher, do have something to eat. But he said, I have food to eat that you, disciples, do not know about. So the disciples asked one another, has someone been bringing him food?
Again, they're living in the temporal world.
Yeah.
But Jesus said, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to complete his work. Okay. Spiritually speaking, if you understood the spiritual words, because you have a spiritual connection, you would know exactly what he's talking about. But the disciples are like, my food? We'll try and live on that for a while. You'll starve to death. It's you have to not disconnect from the spiritual realm, but you have to connect to this. To disconnect from the physical realm, but you have to connect to the spiritual realm. So you are living in the world, but you are not of the world because you have completed the spiritual training process, which is called sanctification, which is learning the truth setting you free from the lies which keep you in sin. So you are a prisoner, a slave of sin, as long as you are practicing the lies that you have been taught is what God wants. When you have completed the sanctification process, you have been perfected in the truth. Your intellect is full of truth. And guess what? You are in the kingdom. That's it. And when your teacher says, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to complete his work, you understand exactly what he's saying because he came to testify to the truth so that we could make the spiritual connection to a spiritual kingdom by learning the truth, and the truth will set us free. And the disciples did not get it. They didn't get it. When he said, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, some of them may have been puking off behind a tree or something. I mean, really. And they were saying, we're following this guy. Oh, man, I don't know. This guy's kind of crazy. That's why the world hates those who understand the spiritual truth. Those who are in the spiritual kingdom, the world hates them because the world only operates in the physical. Mm-hmm. And to the physical, the spiritual is an enemy. Because truth and lies are enemies. Truth and lies are enemies. And if you're perfect in the truth, if you have the whole truth and you are operating in the truth, the lies are always going to hate you.
You said the world only operates in the physical. Is there not a counterpart to the spiritual? Can the world operate in the evil spiritual?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. John chapter 14. And I'm going to start with verse 1. These are one of the memory verses I learned way back when I was little youngster. John 14, 1 to 3. Do not let your heart be troubled. Heart's intellect. Mm-hmm. Do not let your intellect be troubled. Yeah. Trust in God still and trust in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house. We're talking about a spiritual house. You cannot go to it here on this earth. If there were not, I should have told you. I should have told you. If there aren't any rooms for you. I'm going now to prepare a place for you. And after I have gone and prepared you a place, I shall return to take you with me so that where I am, you may be too. You know the way to the place where I am going. Okay, so Thomas, a disciple, said, Lord, we do not know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus said, and listen, okay, this is right at the end. This is just shortly before he's hung on the cross. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except by me. What he's saying is, because the truth, you cannot come to the Father without me, without what I have done. People say through me. You know, Paul was very clever. The devil was very clever with Paul, because Paul says, you know, when we are crucified with him, then we're resurrected with him, and we are in him. And when you're in him, that's your way to the Father. It is in him you go to the Father. If you know me, you know my Father too. From this moment, you know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, let us see the Father, and then we shall be satisfied. And the rabbi, Son of God, says, have I been with you all this time, Philip? And you still don't know me. The importance of knowing God depends upon the importance we give to learning the truth. Because until we learn the truth and know the truth, we will never know God. And I don't care how much you'll swear that you know God. If you don't know the truth, you don't know God.
Thanks, Rick. And I thank all of you for joining us today. We encourage you to go to our Blog Talk Radio website a little later today, where you can download this particular program. Also, you can download all of the other programs that we have. We also encourage you to go to our websites, especially our official website at spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find all sorts of good reading and good information. So on behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis Neufeld saying so long for now. We wish you a good day, and we'll see you all next week.